Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting.
Hi.
We're back. It has been, boy, has it been a weekend.
What a weekend it has been.
Toy Fair. We did it.
Toy Fair. We did it.
Our feet, our backs, and our hearts.
I don't think our hearts are broken. I don't think they're in pain. I think our hearts are filled with love.
Yes, our hearts are full. Our bodies are broken.
Our bodies are completely empty.
We're husks. We're mere husks of Eric and Dave.
Hearts full, bodies empty, no more fuel. Make sure to smash that like button.
So... We're not going to bury the lead. We do have an interview for you.
That's right. We're not going to bury the lead. Eric, are we going to bury the lead?
Nope, not going to do it. But we do have an interview for you shortly. We had the pleasure of once again sitting down with three-time.
It's a very special episode.
Three-time. Returning guest, Brian Volkweis of the Nacelle Company. We had the opportunity to sit down with him once again, this time at Toy Fair, to talk about all the things that are going on. But before we cut to that interview and let you guys hear that, we just wanted to give you some of our kind of takeaways of Toy Fair. So, you know, I'll kick us off, just some things that that jumped out at me that I really, really enjoyed. I'm going to start with one of the last booths that we visited, actually. I don't want to call it recency bias, but Diamond Select had a bunch of things that really kind of checked the boxes for me. It was really nice to see that they are continuing with the Lord of the Rings line. We saw the next wave. The next wave is actually going to be three figures. So we've already seen Saruman. And Samwise, they had those on display, production models. And then we saw Gandalf the White and the two-pack of Merry and Pippin. So really cool that we're getting some more characters from the initial Fellowship, and we're starting to kind of bleed into the Two Towers a little bit. Really, really cool. Hopefully we go back to Fellowship and you know, continue to kind of see some of those characters. Would love to see, you know, Galadriel, would love to see Elrond. I mean, there's a very wide variety of characters that would be great. Sticking at the booth, though, alongside those Lord of the Rings figures, really cool to see that Archangel, the Marvel Select Archangel that they had, really kind of took us by surprise. Unfortunately, our good friend of the pod, Zach, from Diamond Select, was a little under the weather, but the crew there did a great job of going through the booth without him. But his presence was his presence and his sideburns were definitely missed. One of the other things that really kind of jumped out at me too was over at Trick or Treat Studios. So I'm sure Dave is going to want to talk about some of the things that he saw as well at that booth. As you know, both of us really, really definitely enjoyed the booth. But the thing for me was the Build-A-Figure wave of Goosebumps 5-inch figures. Really, really cool to see some of those iconic Goosebumps novels, the cover art jump off the page and into plastic form. Was really, really cool to see that they're bringing that in a Build-A-Figure wave. And the other thing at their booth that I was completely blown away by, had not seen before, they had a set of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, again, those 5-inch retro-style figures. It's the whole family at the table. Really, really, really cool set to see. They absolutely... we spoke to somebody from Trick or Treat Studios, and they mentioned that they are really lasering their focus in on action figures in the coming years, and you can see that it's very, very evident. Dave, was there anything else at their booth that you wanted to talk about?
There were the Terrifier figures that were really cool. The Scared to Death figures that looked really cool. True Romance figures coming soon, something that's not horror but still very awesome. What's something else that I liked that we saw this weekend? We saw Handmade by Robots. We saw and learned a lot about like the kind of creation of those figures, and that they're really designed from like actual knitting, which was really cool.
Yeah, it was neat to talk to them. Expect the folks from Handmade by Robots to show up on this feed soon. We had a chat with them. They're interested in hopping on the pod with us. They have a really, really cool story and a really different product.
We also saw that was really cool. Super 7 Reaction Motley Crue is coming soon. That was shown off. Just some unpainted prototypes for those. What else?
Well, sticking with Super 7, switching over to there, even though it wasn't something that either of us backed, it was really cool to see the party wagon, the production party wagon in person. And a friend of the pod, Kyle, was kind enough to actually open up the glass case and let us kind of get hands-on with it. So much detail in that thing, the removable jukebox, the fact that the designers actually spoke to somebody who works as a mechanic and wanted to know the things that you would want to have on hand to like, you know, mess with a van and make any kind of changes. So, you know, that's why you see the acetylene torch and the helmet and the goggles and stuff with it. So super cool. Super 7, as always, had a ton of stuff. We finally got to see those Misfits, the Danzig and Jerry Only, Masters of the Universe kind of styled figures, and then the Mothership.
Yeah, the Cobra Mothership looked really cool. It was good to see kind of the first, version of it, the first prototype of it that looks really cool.
Something else that was kind of in that realm, because I'm just kind of trying to think in my head the booths that were kind of near each other down there. Our friends Ricky and now Mike DeCamp over at Plunderlings had the Plunderlings on display. They had the Plunder Longs, and which are coming soon to backers, the Plunder Strongs, and then the new not yet named, I'm just going to call it the Plunder Mount. Giant iguana lizard thing. It was very cool. It was very much so a 3D printed painted prototype, so it was held together, you know, with glue. But again, something that was really, really cool to see that they're expanding, you know, that line even more. And now with the mind power of Mike DeCamp and his new company supporting Ricky and the Plunderlings gang, really, really cool to see, you know, them continue to grow.
Oh, we saw Mega Man from Jada. That was really cool. Very much looking forward to see that Mega Man
Yeah, and we actually got hands-on with that too, got a chance to pose it. They're going to come in, the entire Mega Man line is going to come in at a slightly lower price point than the Street Fighter figures, which are, you know, edging closer to $30. They did tell us that the Mega Man figures are going to retail for $20. And let me tell you guys, for those of you that are, you know, the toy photographers and people who really like to pose out, you're going to have a blast with that Mega Man. The cuts are all in the right places. The joints move really well. He holds poses. If you head to our Instagram and our YouTube channel, we have a ton of coverage from Toy Fair. Lots of walkthrough videos, lots of photo galleries, just of all of the things that we saw. Dave, actually, this is a perfect opportunity for you to remind our listeners, how do they find us on Instagram?
Yeah, you can see all of the stuff that we put up on Instagram and eventually YouTube just by hitting those subscribe buttons. Smash that subscribe button, hit those likes, and leave comments and subscribe on YouTube. We are near 2,000 of 2,000 lovely subscribers on the YouTubes. So just make sure to smash that like button like those videos, smash that subscribe button, and hit the little bell so that way you know when we post something new on YouTube. And then it'll come directly to you. You'll get a notification, it'll pop up, and then it'll be at a time when you can't really watch it right now, but you'll have that notification to remind you at a time when you can watch it to watch that video.
Exactly that, all of that. Something else that I thought was actually really cool. So one thing, just to kind of address this again, if you see us on Instagram, you'll see us standing next to Uncle Jeremy Padour, previous guest of, you know, legendary all-star guest of the pod, one could say. We were able to get into the what we were referring to as the Jazzwares Castle at Toy Fair. And while there's not anything that we are at liberty to discuss about what we saw in there, what I can say,
we can say how great it was to see Uncle Jeremy and Greg Mitchell and Aaron Margolin.
Yep. And what I can say is, not to overhype anything, but we saw what a lot of what was coming in the pipeline. And there is some
I wouldn't even say that we saw that.
No, we're allowed to say that we saw things that we can't talk about.
Okay.
But that there's a lot to be excited about. I think that's fair without getting into any detail. But a lot of the things, the news that's out there about the deals that Jazzwares have signed, the brands that they're representing, there is a lot of really, really cool stuff coming in the pipeline for all of those things that you saw. So from, you know, licenses that you've already seen products from to licenses that have been announced and you have not seen product from, there's a lot of really, really cool stuff in the pipeline. And we're really appreciative that we were given the chance to see that. And actually, while we're talking about things that we can't talk about, we also saw things from Playmates that we can say that you should be excited about. They announced, of course, that there is an animated series coming from the Ninja Turtles, from Mutant Mayhem. And there is, obviously, as you could probably assume, product that's coming to support said animated series. And you are going to be very, very excited when you can finally see some of that stuff. Again, like really, really cool experiences at Toy Fair, and a lot of really, really cool things to see. Another thing that we got to see, Dave, was the McFarlane booth.
Yeah, we got to chill at the booth. I actually can't even remember what we can't talk about.
So at the McFarlane booth, we can 1,000% talk about the thing that you just quoted from. So we got to see the Batman and Robin build a Mr. Freeze wave. And I can say objectively, those are some of the best likenesses that McFarlane has ever done in the you know, the DC Multiverse line.
Yeah, they were fantastic. I'm sorry, I'm exhausted.
It's all good, Dave. It's all good. So I think with that, that's been, you know, kind of a recap.
We literally just got home like an hour ago. I've not been this tired in a long time.
So I think with that, I'll just reiterate, you can head over to our Instagram and our YouTube. Again, that's at AIC_podcast on Instagram and YouTube, to check out the booth walkthroughs. Toy Fair, as of the recording of this podcast, and or I should say airing of this podcast, Toy Fair is actually still happening. So it continues Monday and Tuesday.
Today and tomorrow.
October 2nd and 3rd. So we will still be showing you Toy Fair stuff at that time. But what we're going to do now is we're going to take a super quick break. You're going to hear from our sponsors, and you're going to get dumped back into this show, and you're going to hear from CEO and founder of Nacelle, Brian Volkweis.
Oh, also, we only had one microphone and three people. So there's any weird audio, that's why.
We did our best. We are a professional. We are a professional operation.
Yes.
So with that, here's a little word from our show sponsors, and then a wonderful interview featuring friend of the pod, Brian Volkweis of the Nacelle Company.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This segment is brought to you by our friends at Chubsy Wubsy Toys. A traditional mom-and-pop toy store in Little Falls, New Jersey, Chubsy Wubsy Toys brings you the best new toys from the brands you love without the hassle of pounding the pavement searching for them at larger retail stores. Visit them in person at their brand new home at 101 Newark Pompton Turnpike Suite 1 in Little Falls, New Jersey, or online at ChubsyWubsy.com. That's ChubsyWubsy.com. And tell them Adventures in Collecting sent you.
Rewind and press play on your VHS collection with CGC. CGC is excited to announce our newest collectible vertical, CGC Home Video. As a division dedicated to authenticating and grading your VHS collection, our experts are ready to help you encapsulate your favorite video cassettes. Don't settle for static on the screen. Submit today at cgcgrading.com. That's cgcgrading.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, back to the show.
So, we are here with Brian Volkweis of Nacelle, again, the Three-Timers Club.
Yeah, I love it.
So, tell us, it's been a little while since we've chatted last. You've got a couple of new, we're sitting here at Toy Fair looking at a couple of new IPs. I think we should probably start with the Biker Mice.
Let's do it. Yeah, so we're doing Biker Mice. We got the bikes here. They light up, so the prototypes at San Diego didn't have the electronics yet, so they also have a different paint job, a more expensive paint job. They just went on sale Friday at, I believe, 10 o'clock, and it's funny, I was on a flight yesterday, a 6 a.m. flight, LAX to, believe it or not, New York, and, you know, I don't know, much experience you have with LAX, but very slow. So we're starting to head to the flight line, and I'm like, you know, I probably have 2 hours to fucking kill. So that's how slow. Oh, can I curse?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of curse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
You have a three timer, I can curse. But what do you call it?
If you're so, a four timer, you get to kill somebody on air.
I'll be, any slots next week? Anyway. So, yeah, so I'm like, eh, you know, I'll check the numbers. You know, I had looked at the numbers before, the sales numbers, before I went to bed. And, you know, I went heading to the flight line, I opened my phone. It was one of those cliched moments where I was literally, I mean, again, this is real. I was literally like, where's the comma? I couldn't believe it. I literally could, and that was at night, that was overnight. So, like, when I went to bed, you know, I was happy. I don't know who, I went to bed at, like, midnight. I don't know who's buying toys between 12:01 a.m. and 6 a.m. L.A. time. Anyway, that is the long way of telling you, like I was saying, you know, we upgraded the paint job. Now we have the electronics in. They're doing well. They're doing well.
Well, this whole thing with Biker Mice has been amazing to watch because you've proven, as you've done in the past, how kind of nimble you are. You know, those original figures came out, you know, and they didn't have the ab crunch and the articulation and everything. They did have those David Vonner abs from...
He does have the best abs in the business. Yeah.
But tell us about that. Like, what was it like to have to kind of pivot based on that feedback?
You know, it's so funny. Like, as you know, I am a toy collector. I've been, technically I can say I've been collecting since college, but making toys that made us definitely, this is probably something I should keep as a deep, dark secret. The day Toys That Made Us was greenlit, my collection, maybe, and if anything I'm low, or I'm high, maybe, was 400 pieces. Maybe. Could have been 325. I mean, it's now over 4,000 pieces. Because what happened was, I didn't really know this about myself until Toys That Made Us. I'm like all about like knowledge. So the day Toys That Made Us got greenlit, I did not own, people are shocked when I say this, I didn't own a single He-Man anything. I know I have like probably a 80 to 100 piece He-Man collection. And She-Ra, like, you name it. So that's what happened to me. So anyway, so the reason why I bring it up is because I consume my own product, you know, I see what other companies do when the fans are upset. And I never understand why Hollywood understands that if you put a trailer out and everybody's mad that your X-Men villain looks like he's out of Power Rangers, that or the thing with Sonic the Hedgehog, yeah, the first movie,
yeah, yeah.
Like, to me, fucking take the hit, scream that you fucked up, and move. So it was a no-brainer for me. You know, I'm on Instagram all day long. I'm on Instagram before I go to bed for probably 30 minutes straight. And when you see the same comment coming up over and over and over and over and over, even though I don't give a shit personally about ab crunch, I could care less about ab crunch. I put my figures on a shelf, and that's where they stay until I move houses. But if you see people so passionate that they're going crazy about something, and we're talking about toys and not curing cancer, well, you should probably listen. And like I said, they're selling so well, it comes down to, well, do I want to make an extra couple thousand bucks of profit in a year? Or do I want my fans, the people who are shelling out their cash, to be happy? First of all, let's leave it at that for a second. You just want people that spend their money on your product to be happy. But more than that, we'll probably make more money if more people are happy. Call me crazy. By the way, same reason of our price point. People are shocked we're selling those bikes for $49. But I want more people to have them. Like, the joy, I mean, you know enough about our company. The majority, the vast majority of our money comes from producing TV shows. So we're very lucky that, like, I'm okay making less profit on a bike I'm not going to lose money. I mean, that's a huge no-no for me personally in the way I run the company. I don't want to lose money. But, like, I'd rather make less profit and have more people having joy of the bike on their toy shelf than make a couple, you know, make an extra 10 grand in a year and have maybe a couple thousand fewer bikes in people's homes. Who cares about 10 grand?
And I feel like, too, you're building... You know, it's almost like, you know, if you are vocal, right, you know, as a fan, and you expect a change to happen, and then you see the company make that change, it's like, well, shit, now I'm on the hook. I got to get this thing.
Yeah, and, like, I'll be on the comments. Like, I'll go back. And, again, this could tell you I'm the best or the worst CEO, depending on your point of view in life. But, like, I'll go back. You know, like, I'll go to Toy Shiz. And I'll see all those comments being mad at us for not doing the what do you call it? I'm having a brain fart. Ab crunch. Thank you. I was about to say knuckle crunch. Having the ab
That's
crunch.
A different thing.
Hey now. This is PG. This is PG. So I'll go back to all those. So I'll see all these people complaining that we don't have ab crunch. But then I'll go back a week, 2 weeks later and be like, we're adding ab crunch. I'll copy and paste it. We're adding ab crunch. Because I want them to know we listen. And again, I have nothing to hide. We've been doing this for 2 years. So I'm not Hasbro. Maybe they should be embarrassed by something like that. I'm not embarrassed. We don't know what the hell we're doing. And we're learning with each toy line, hopefully, how to do it better. Those two RoboForces cost more than all three bikes combined.
Wow.
Because we didn't know what we were doing. So there's a learning curve when you enter a new business. And I was aware of that before I got into it. And you just, as long as you keep moving, you'll be fine. And there's no reason not to admit you made a mistake.
Yeah. You talked about, like, you know, even seeing the surprise of how the numbers went up and the surprise of kind of like the knowledge when you were making the toys that made us of seeing your collection increase. Has it been kind of a pleasant surprise or shocking in a way to see that there is an appetite for these lines that have been away for so long?
Yes and no. So I'll give you a great example. I saw something here yesterday that I don't own yet. I saw it at the Diamond booth. And I went to Midtown Comics at 9:45 at night and bought it. It was $70. So on the one hand, I spent $70 on a piece of plastic. On the and it's a 50, 60-year-old IP. On the other hand, I wanted that so badly my whole life. It has never been made before. That I was very happy to spend $70 on a piece of plastic. And that's why I'm not surprised. What I'm very curious about, because as you know, we're just next year starting to get into our second waves. So it's kind of easy with Sectors to sell enough Dargon and Stellara to make money. What I'm curious, and again, next year we'll be doing the bugs, so that'll also be quote-unquote easy. What I'm curious about, to your point, how is Wave 3 going to do? How is Wave 4 going to do?
How deep does it go?
Yeah, that's what I'm curious. And, you know, Curmudgeon right over there, the little orange guy with one arm. So Curmudgeon, that's our first original character. Curmudgeon comes from the RoboForce cartoon. He's kind of like a bartender type, like Norm.
Yeah.
He's not a bartender. He's a customer, but he's like Norm. He's always there. And as you may be aware, there was no Curmudgeon in the original line.
Yeah.
And as you also may be aware, the cartoon hasn't come out yet. So you could argue that's very risky, putting out a character with no pedigree, no backstory, no nothing, for a cartoon that's not going to be out for months after the toy comes out. But I'm doing it because, A, I'm passionate about it. B, it's our first original character, so I wanted to really see if and how that would work for us at this point in our evolution. But most important to me, I believe in it and I love it. I want to see what happens.
And also, too, you know, so for those that are not seeing this, it's a low barrier of entry. He's a small guy.
He'll be bigger than that.
We just got that. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, okay.
We just got that prototype on Tuesday. He's too dark.
Okay.
So if you look at the package, and this is my fault. The guy who designed it did a great job. Nobody should have their feelings hurt. But he's too dark. The wash was too dark. In the cartoon, we have since added eyebrows. Okay. So obviously he's missing eyebrows. But I made the decision, you know, some of my staff was like, hey, man, maybe we shouldn't bring it. He's too dark and he's too small. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just bring it. Let's just bring it. So it's that kind of, to use your word, nimbleness. That's what I like to call it. Other people might call it, you don't know what you're doing, Brian. But I would rather have that there so I can talk to you about it and tell you we're now making original characters. Soraya, she's about to go in production. She's the human lead from RoboForce. So, like, we don't know if any of this is going to work. But if it does, then we have a good foundation we can keep building off of.
So from kind of your now owned IPs and the original, you know, characters and products you're putting out to something that's a little more maybe familiar to those in the sci-fi space, you also recently announced The Expanse is joining the Nacelle universe. So tell us about that.
So it's like, I know we're friends on Instagram, so you're probably sick of hearing me say everything is surreal. But I don't, and I hate writing that. I wish there was a stronger, better word. But I can sum it up to you perfectly with The Expanse. So we do the deal, which I still... And by the way, I had a meeting at Alcon that had absolutely zero to do with The Expanse. 0.0 to do with The Expanse. It was connected to, you know, every now and then we make TV shows.
Yeah.
So it was a part of that part of my life. And one of the dudes in the meeting, are you a fan?
I've seen a few episodes. I'm not super ingrained.
So there's a spaceship in The Expanse. We're on the side of the ship. It has, starting with the Wright brothers plane, it goes from the Wright brothers all the way to the ship.
I've seen that.
This dude had all of that on his arm.
Wow.
So we started talking about The Expanse. That led to this.
Wow.
But to make my point about surrealness of all this, you know, I moved about a year ago.
Yeah.
And I'm still not even done putting my collection back together. I'm probably now at around somewhere between 96 and 97% done. So I'm rebuilding my Battlestar Galactica section. And this is like 3 or 4 months ago. We did this deal like 8 or 9 months ago. So I am in my collection room on a Sunday morning putting my NECA figures. You know, NECA did these beautiful Battlestar Galactica figures. And I'm putting them up, and I just involuntarily say to myself, God, why has nobody done this for The Expanse? And for 10 seconds, I'm like, oh, we're doing it.
Yeah, I'm about to do that.
That's how surreal this is. So, do you mind if I give a massive spoiler?
Sure.
Do you care?
Don't care.
So, these two characters at the beginning of the show and for the first 5 seasons are mortal enemies. She's the head of Earth. That's Ava Salvara. That's Drummer. At the beginning of the show, she starts off as like a low-ranking belter. And by season 6, she's like the number 2 belter. At the second-to-last episode of The Expanse, they unite. And that's what ends the war. They literally shake hands. And by the end of that episode, the war is over. Our launching product, which to me was inspired by what Lucasfilm did with Phantom Menace, where Mace Windu, if you remember, they did a Mace Windu sneak peek and a STAP sneak peek with a battle droid on it. So that was my inspiration. But we're launching with a 2-pack of them shaking hands.
Oh, that's cool.
And if you look at the toy collector issue in the background, that's the actual set where the handshake took place. So that's, and then we're launching Wave 1. It's our biggest wave ever. 8 characters, a trillion accessories. I mean, it's the craziest thing you've ever seen or that we've ever done. It's like kind of McFarlane-esque. I feel like their smallest wave ever was 97 figures. Maybe 197. I don't know what they're doing, but thank God they're doing it. That's what we're doing there. And it is massive. Massive.
Yeah, that's, I know, again, like, you know, full transparency, you know, I'm not a huge fan, I have not seen much of The Expanse. I'm aware of it.
Are you a Galactica fan?
Yes.
If you like Galactica, this is better. And I am a huge BSG fan.
Okay.
Huge. This is better. You know how BSG went up and down?
Yeah.
This just keeps going up.
Well, you sold me.
Yeah. Try it again.
And of course, I need to watch it before the figures come out because I gotta get ingrained.
Which I think might be why Alcon wanted figures. Maybe. Just me.
Makes sense. Yeah. So, you know, moving from sci-fi, the Legends of Laughter, they're here. They're arriving in people's hands. Tell us a little bit about what's in store for this this line.
You know, this line is doing very well, but it's not a home run. So, you know, it's funny, a lot of our lines, by the time the boat gets to the port of Los Angeles, they're already profitable. This one, we shall see, and obviously some are selling better than others, but if this ends up becoming profitable, which I'm sure it will, the question is how long will it take? If that happens, just on general principle, we'll probably do another wave of two or three. I'm a huge, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but we produce stand-up comedy more than anybody.
Yeah, that's how we knew you before we knew you.
Okay. So, yeah, a lot of people are like, why are you in the toy business? Or they're like, why do I see your name on... That's my favorite, is every now and then I'll get a comment like, why is your name at the end of a Ali Wong special? And I'm like, well, it's actually...
How do you know Jim Gaffigan?
Yeah. So we have a record division. It's actually our second oldest division of the entire company. And we distribute all their audio. So... that's how it happened. People are like, how'd you pick them? What scientific research did you do? And I'm like, I did no research. I was already in business with them, and that's how it happened. But, like, I want to do Richard Pryor. I want to do Kinison. I want to do Bill Burr.
Yeah.
I want to do, you know... Anyway, I'll shut up now. I want friends of mine to be like, how come you didn't say me? So that's why I'm shutting up.
Yeah, Jim Gaffigan will tell you you got to join the manatees and get a job, right?
Seahorses. It's my favorite joke of his, is a seahorse joke.
But, yeah, I mean, these are very much so in the category, and Dave, you were actually just saying it before. Yeah.
I didn't know I needed a Bill Hicks figure until I saw there was a Bill Hicks figure. Yeah, and it goes back to, you know, the knowledge thing. This is going to bring three kind of classic comedians back into... Yeah. Into the realm of like, oh, who's this? Let me look this up and just find out about everything Lenny Bruce went through, or, you know, Bill Hicks, like how his life was unfortunately cut short, or just, you know, the history of Joan Rivers. Like,
are you a comedy guy? So half the comments, so funny, half the comments about Bill Hicks are he would kill himself if he knew you made a toy out of him, to which I'm always like, well, his brother and mother and sister seem to be okay with it. And then I don't say the rest of what I'm thinking.
Yes.
But the other comment we get is something along the lines of, well, I know Dennis Leary isn't buying one. So
yes.
If you're a comedy, are you a comedy guy? So you get
not
that reference?
Not as much as him, but I got the reference.
Well, everybody says he's ripped off Bill Hicks. Yeah.
And me, see, I just want Joan Rivers to judge all of my other figures, like to stand there and just judge them.
If we had any here, I would give them to you, so I hate saying this, but yeah, they're for sale. Go grab them.
Well, you know, we're super excited to watch, you know, the success of all this. You know, we didn't even mention the RoboForce figures sold through. That's it.
Record, we still have a couple hundred.
Okay.
And we have, what do you call it in the, like in comic books, it's reprints. What do you call when you make more of the same figure?
A rerun.
Yeah,
a
rerun.
Thank you. So we have the first rerun of Max in production now.
Nice.
And they're supposed to hit the boat this coming week. And we hope to have more before the holidays.
And we know New York Comic Con is coming up very quickly, which is weird saying that at Toy Fair.
So weird.
But, well,
don't worry, we don't have one next year, so it won't be weird twice.
Yes, this is good. Will we find out more about the cartoons, the media at New York Comic Con?
We're announcing, we have a lot of partnerships we're announcing at New York Comic. So we have a comic book deal. We have some IP, let's just say we've partnered with a couple companies, that are more well known for us than making toys. We have a couple other secret little things we're announcing. If I get the deal signed, I assume you know Ryan Reynolds is attached to Biker Mice.
Yep. That was gonna be my next question.
We will be announcing, God willing, we get the deal done. We will be announcing a much, an equally big name for RoboForce.
Okay.
So the idea is that we're going to attach a massive star to every line. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was going to be my follow-up. What's it been like working with Ryan on Biker Mice?
What you see is what you get. So if you've seen Ryan on doing interviews, he's that cool. If anything, I would argue he's even cooler, because he's, you know, again, when he's doing interviews, he can't probably say certain things that he. So like getting to see the raw Ryan Reynolds, I mean, and it's his whole company too, by the way. Like there, it's again going back to that word. I wish I could stop saying it is so surreal.
And does he have like a deep connection with Biker Mice? Like, have the toys?
He's a huge motorcycle guy, and it's one of his favorite cartoons. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're excited to see how things go. We know you're a busy guy, so we're going to let you go and get you back to the rest of the people at Toy Fair. And and it's been a pleasure talking to you like always, man.
Thank you, and conversely, you guys have been there almost from day one, maybe even day one, so thank you.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.